I know it's some music that I haven't made yet, but I'm still figuring out how to make it every day that I'm learning.
So that clip you just heard is musician Thelonious Kryptonite, and I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And I'm Nancy Fowler, and this is Cut and Paste.
He's from St. Louis, and he started in hip-hop. Now his music's a little bit more experimental, but he's also become an educator. And we sat down the other day and talked with him kind of about his transition from liking different kinds of music into becoming an educator and what he's up to next.
And back in his own school days at University City High School, he really had kind of an unusual way, a creative way of making music, and it was one that involved a couple of unusual instruments, including a Carmax lip gloss.
I read somewhere that in high school, you actually would grab a writing implement, a couple of other small things. And
I can't believe you know that. How I used to get the ciphers in the UCD cafeteria, you know, you always have to beat on the table. So I got tired of beating on the table the way I did it. So I created like an instrument. I always had in my pocket in high school, I had a pen and I had Cormax. You got Cormax because if you see a girl, you can't have dry lips. It's just, you just don't do it. Not in high school. You gotta be fly. A pen, you gotta write something down. Plus you in high school, you in school. So I had those two things at the table. I used the pen as like a hi-hat, and the Cormax is like the snare. And this part of my fist that you're hearing, it's got that bass. That puts the bass there, and you can also double up like that. So I used to do it at the same time and created like the pen and Cormax beat making on the table movement, but I was the only one that could do it as good because I created it. I made it on the table when I was with my little friends, and we had our little rap groups, and I'd be like, yo, I made this up with the pen and Cormax, y'all. This is the sickest ever. And just, they'd be like, well, when we get a beat machine, we're going to make that just like that. That was just the beginning of how I heard music and how I could express it.
And I have to ask Nancy, like, how did you actually find out about that?
I am sworn to secrecy.
I try to do it now, like as an adult. And I'll get the equipment and the pen, the Cormax, the right pen, a nice table. But I'm not as good as I used to be.
Did it work with the girls, though?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Because they're like standing around, like listening to it. You make the beat. You have the rhythm. You're the drum. You're the heart of everything that they're listening to.
So yeah, this improvisation that he did at the lunchroom table led him in high school, while still at University City High School, to go on and play with actual instruments.
It inspired someone who was in marching band to recruit me for the marching band. I never played in marching band until I was at U City. Back then, when you were in U City's marching band, it was something serious because we were sick.
Wait, so what happened? How did someone, did they just approach you?
Yeah,
and say,
he actually was like one of the captains, and he was like, man, that's dope how you do that. That's like playing drums. I was like, yeah. He was like, man, you got some fast wrists, man. Like, you should join the band, you should like sign up. I'm like, nah, I ain't never think about playing band, but like, I respect what you guys do, that's tight, but I don't think I can do that. For some reason, I actually went to band camp and like tried it out, and then it started something new. So you gotta have an open mind. Like, if something that you've never done, you can say, well, I never done it before, but let me see, let me give it a try. It might lead to something that might be the next part of your evolvement. You know, I had to have the open mind to join, and I did, and that led to me having a scholarship in college, you know, and that expanded my music here more, to play more instruments and be in more different types of bands. So I never thought about playing, like, marching band, but at that time, it was a persuasive thing that happened. But I played a little keys in, like, middle school, so I played music, but never to that level. But being in marching band definitely helped my creativity.
So one of the things that I find most interesting about what Thelonious is saying is that he was getting more involved in kind of official marching band, but at that same time, he was getting more popular as an MC through rapping, and he got involved in this indie hip-hop group that also had soul elements, and I think it gave him the chance to record with some of his personal heroes at the time.
Yeah, Soul Tide was a label. Around the time that I was introduced to them, I was still in high school, and in high school, you know, I was a pretty popular rapper. So I knew some guys who were really popular rappers too, and a friend of mine knew Mustafa. He was the executive producer for Soul Tide, and he said, hey, we want to hear you rap. And I rapped some bars on the phone, and Moo was like, wow, that's nice. And the next day, they were calling me. I was like, hey, you want to do this group? You want to you want to get on Soul Tide Records? And I was like, yeah, of course. It was an honor to be on this group because I respect these guys highly. So for them to just ask me, because I'm just thinking, like, I rock with you guys. You know, we're all friends.
Hip-hop. Let me hear you say, ah. Pledge allegiance to hip-hop. Won't stop until I reach the tip-top.
And then when I went to the studio, I saw for the first time Black Spade and Coltrane. I like to watch them record, you know, because I learned a lot about music and listening to how they make the lyrics. But once they get behind that mic and do what they're doing, you can understand that they're serious about what they're doing. All of them, everybody, and the energy of everybody motivating each other to do better. I was like 17 years old around these grown people that were just creatively dope. Just, it was great.
After his time in Pine Bluff, Thelonious returned to St. Louis, focusing a little bit more on listening to music instead of making it. And while he was focusing on listening to music, he was investigating different styles, getting into a little bit more electronic music, but he also started teaching kids, right?
Right. A lot of artists tend to do this, from what I've noticed, like fairly early in their careers. They get a certain amount of success, even a small amount of success, and they want to start giving that back, and they want to start helping kids.
And then do you think that actually has some sort of influence on what they do creatively as well?
Yeah, I would think it would.
You mentioned being a 17-year-old kid, you know, in awe of some of these people you were meeting and working with, and now you work with kids. Do you work with kids, you know, up to that age of 17?
Yes.
So you're the person often that they look up to, I guess. What's that like?
It's awesome. If you're around children and you're doing the right things, you're going to always find inspiration through them, because if you're actually, you know, doing what you're supposed to do as an educator, and you're educating them, but you're also allowing them to become more mature, teaching them about different values, they'll become better people as well. As people being smart in the world and as people being smart in the books, you'll also learn a lot from the children. And that's what I've loved about learning with the children and teaching the children and being involved with the youth.
Is there any relationship between kind of the music that you make and the kids that you work with?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you think about the album, The Anchor Punch.
I call it The Anchor Punch.
That album is also teaching history about someone and that happened, that had an impact on our world. And also someone who's a positive figure. The Anchor Punch was an album that I dedicated to Muhammad Ali. I called it The Anchor Punch because that's what he called the punch that he used on Sonny Liston in the second fight when they battled for the championship. I wanted to put it out just for him, you know, even if I never got a chance to meet him or whatever. You know, I know that I did a part for something that I was inspired by. That's why I made The Anchor Punch initially.
0.0001 of a second, which is an eye blink.
Knocking your face like fight night. This Iron Mike, a jab with the right. Take your eyesight, hot mic, new champ.
I was just wondering what the concept of that anchor punch meant to you, how that spoke to you.
You know, this is my anchor punch as well. You know, it's my first project for music. You know, it was an EP, but it wasn't, you know, a full album. But it's real quick to just let you know you about to feel the anchor punch, my anchor punch. So, and educating maybe some young people who didn't even know who Muhammad Ali is, and they did.
So Thelonious is like a multifaceted guy, and for him, it's not just about the sound. Sometimes it's about the look.
You actually asked him about that while we were talking to him, right?
I did, and turns out he's really kind of into fashion.
When you wake up, you should want to look good every day, you know, and you should want to feel good about yourself. But clothes do make you feel really well, and that's what I want to do. I'm still working on my own line as well now, and I'm just working with a lot of people with fashion and photographers. I'm not going to start my own clothing line like right now, but I know what I want to do with it. But I'm also, I'm happy to like help any designer or even work with like people who put fashion events together. You know, I've been interested in that. So I see fashion, I mean, fashion is part of the art world too. You know, I've always liked clothes and just the art of it, you know, so it is a part of something that I'm interested in, you know.
What do you envision your eventual line of clothing to encompass?
I've always said that clothes, they're part of your character, right? But you can make someone put on some clothes or someone can put on an outfit and you're like, wow, you look like a whole new person. You know, you don't, or if they're an older person, you will say, you know, you're dressed like a 30-year-old gentleman, you know, like a younger version of somebody real clean cut. That's a real nice look for you. But it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, clothes make people ageless. Whatever you have on, if you're styling it right, it'll make you look ageless. And that's what I want my clothes to look like. When you put it on, it's you. And if it's you, it doesn't even matter how old you are. It's fresh. Like, that's it.
He talks kind of often, including this part about fashion, about having like your own personal sound or your own personal style. And it seems like it's really important to him to have a unique representation of who you are, if it's in music or if it's in fashion or if it's in like education even.
To be an individual, to be his own person, I think definitely is a goal.
When we asked him then later about what he wants to do, he doesn't really have an answer.
Maybe he's just figuring it out.
As much as I talk, I don't know. I really don't know. I know it's some music that I haven't made yet, but I'm still figuring out how to make it every day that I'm learning. You go harder every time and elevate. Don't do the same thing you did last time. That's why it's taking me so long to finish my next album, because I'm not going to do what I did last time at all.
Cut and Paste is written and produced by Nancy Fowler.
And Willis Arnold.
With the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The music you heard throughout the show was produced by local musician Eric Hall.
For our sound bed, at least, the rest is Thelonious. We're a project of St. Louis Public Radio. You can find us online at stlpublicradio.org.